Taking Stock with Carol Masser and Michael McKee, on demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app, free for iPhone and Android devices.
Well, he writes, just in 2 months in 2015, markets have already recorded a number of striking contrast changes, you might say, with what we saw in 2014. Here to talk a little bit about it is Aaron Cannon, co-founder, chief executive officer at Clear Harbor Asset Management. They've got roughly $550 million in assets under management based in New York, and he joins us on the phone in New York. Aaron, so it is only a couple months in. It feels like it's been 6 months. There's been a lot going on. But how do you feel this year is shaping up 2 months in comparison to what we saw in 2014?
Yeah, certainly, Carol, thanks for having me. Certainly, it has been a sort of an interesting contrast to 2014, to your point, which is to say that the dispersion in the U.S. equity market that we saw last year across small caps, mid caps, and large caps hasn't come to fruition yet this year. We've seen markets higher in the U.S., the equity markets higher, and small caps have actually slightly outpaced larger caps or the S&P 500 year to date. I would look to Europe as another contrasting point from last year, where we've seen the equity market rebound very nicely in euro terms and even in dollar terms, where we're up about 13% year to date in Europe. Of course, that's on the heels of significant money printing and quantitative easing. And then in Japan, we're seeing the market continue to rally on the equity side, up about 8%, but the yen is actually stalled and is sort of unchanged. So that's the equity side, and certainly there are some other contrasting points on the fixed income side as well.
All right, so you know, I'm kind of a bottom line kind of gal. So what does it mean for me in terms, or really mean for all investors in terms of what we've seen so far and what kind of market environment it sets up for 2015? Better than 2015 or what?
Well, I mean, from a portfolio construction standpoint, I think those who sort of talk about the positives of quote unquote diversification, this year is playing out in a better fashion. The global diversification is working year to date. It didn't work last year. In fact, it didn't even work if you diversified within the United States and your benchmark was the S&P 500. So active managers have an opportunity, I believe, at least as the trend is playing out this year, to perform reasonably well relative to their given benchmarks over the course of this year.
And leads them to what kind of investments in your view?
Well, I mean, certainly there are opportunities across the spectrum. We're still very bullish on the trends that we're seeing in Europe. We think reflation in Europe on the heels of quantitative easing will continue, that the revenue growth profile in Europe has bottomed and is destined to sort of move higher. I think one challenge for investors this year is the continued strength of the U.S. dollar. Not only is it a challenge for those who are looking for opportunities to allocate into their portfolio, but I think at the end of the day, it's the unspoken challenge as it pertains to the Fed. We continue to talk about the Fed, the timing, when, where, is it going to be June? Is it going to be September?
Are we overtalking it, Aaron, in your view?
Well, I don't know if we're over-talking it, but I think that there is sort of an elephant in the room that's not being discussed, and it's sort of a quote that I saw recently, maybe as early as this morning. The most important thing in communication is hearing what isn't said, and I think that what we're not hearing from the Fed, but what they're contemplating internally but not publicly, is the strength of the dollar. Mm. What is its impact on exports, on the U.S. economy? There are pros and cons to a strong dollar. If you look at the S&P 500, about 33% of revenues are international in nature. And if you look at the earnings, Q4 earnings, there have been significant sort of write-downs as it pertains to negative foreign exchange transfers there. And so that bodes poorly for components of the large cap part of the U.S. equity market.
Aaron, let me just ask you, in terms of the stronger dollar, because we had a stronger dollar last year, the dollar index was up about 13%, but we're already up, I guess more than 5% in terms of the dollar this year. It's different in terms, it's a stronger or even stronger dollar, and that means more of an impact, or it's just a longer impact because we're dealing with it from what we saw last year as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you're starting to see the strength of the dollar play through into corporate earnings. I mean, there is a silver lining in all of this, and that is to say that as unemployment moves towards 5%, a lot of studies would suggest that you start to see wage inflation, mm-hmm. and the consumer has more buying power. And in a strong dollar environment, that would bode well for consumer discretionary spending in that particular sector of the economy. And so I think, you know, that's certainly an area of focus for us at the moment in the United States. But I think having a global posture here makes some sense as well.
So, you know, are you tired of U.S. equities at this point?
Certainly not. In fact, we believe that easy monetary policy is going to be a continued theme, even in the United States. So the Fed symbolically or philosophically is very eager to at least initially move beyond the zero bound in rates. And I believe that that'll happen this year. But I don't believe that that necessarily is an indication of significantly higher rates in 2016 and beyond. Mm-hmm. Data dependency certainly is the case, but our base case is the trajectory of rates after that first move is going to be quite low for a long time. So, you know, that's our view on that particular front.
Where's value in this market for you, Aaron?
So, you know, we construct portfolios for our clients, sort of merging the fundamental bottoms-up analysis, not only of companies, Carol, but also of sectors of the economy, as I mentioned, consumer discretionary, but also regions of the globe. Mm-hmm. For example, Japan. Price-to-earnings ratios are actually below historical norms in Japan. And so we still think there's more room to run in Japan. As an example, mm-hmm. but we're also merging our macro view of the world, and then we're merging those two pieces, the fundamental, the macro, with the client. The client's risk tolerance, their ability to withstand portfolio volatility, or maybe even permanent capital loss. And so our view tries to take into account all three of these factors, and at the end of the day, the client's risk tolerance and the return required to achieve what they need in their financial life is all brought together in the form of portfolio construction. And so for us at the investment level, we believe in fixed income. That high yield is certainly an interesting area. We've been talking very loudly about energy high yield, but frankly, a lot of those opportunities have passed over the last couple of weeks, even though oil hasn't risen.
Got to run. Hey, Aaron, thank you. Have a great weekend. Aaron Cannon, co-founder, chief executive officer at Clear Harbor Asset Management, roughly $550 million in assets under management, on the phone in New York. This is Taking Stock. I'm Carol Masser, my co-host Michael McKee. You're listening to Bloomberg Radio.
Taking Stock, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2, in San Francisco on 960 a.m. and 103.7 FM HD2, and Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119.